With the new iPhone SE for less than $100 at Metro, you rule. It's the most affordable iPhone on the number one brand in prepaid. So whether you're studying online or FaceTiming.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, dear.
The iPhone SE has all you need. Switch to Metro and get the iPhone SE for $99.99 after rebate redemption and 6 months of service with AutoPay. Metro by T-Mobile. Rule your day. Limit one per account slash household. Requires port and ID validation. Not valid for numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Restrictions apply. See store for details.
Welcome to the Queen City Podcast After Hours. This episode is dedicated entirely to Outer Banks. We're going to be talking pogues, kooks, fun facts. We're going to talk storylines, and we're going to talk expectations going into season two. Thanks for listening. This is the Queen City Podcast After Hours. Suspicious. Welcome to the Queen City Podcast After Hours. My name is Dylan Hyden, and I am your host. And with me is Devin Hyden.
What's going on?
And Dalton Hyden.
What's up?
You got the Hyden Bro Pod tonight, and we are going to be talking about Outer Banks Season 1. We're going to be talking everything that has to do with Outer Banks. We're going to talk characters. We're going to talk about some storylines. We're going to talk about things that we really didn't care for. And we're also going to get into fun facts and expectations going into Season 2. Wow, that would have been a way better intro if I would have just waited and figured out what I was going to say.
That was a great intro. Yeah,
thank you.
I thought you did good.
Thank you.
Killed
it. This is take three on our intros. If you didn't already, you didn't know that, but
no,
you do.
I mean, they're probably only a minute into the podcast, but we've been recording for at least 20 minutes. So anyway, with me is Devin Hyden. Devin, what's up?
Not a whole lot. You know, just been working. We got the basement gym going. DM's coming back next week, so just excited to get back into swing of things.
Adult, it's been so long since you've been on here.
I know.
I think it's been since Jeremy left.
Yeah, it's been
Jeremy's
a while.
Last pod. I think you are going on strike until Jeremy comes back.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Jeremy.
I'm only here just to announce that's what I'm doing.
Hey, this is Jeremy coming back.
But in seriousness, I wanted Jeremy to do this podcast with us because I knew he would like this show.
Yeah.
And I texted him and I was like, hey, you need to come back and do an Outer Banks podcast with us. And he's like, oh, I don't know. I don't think I'd like it. And he texted me like he made it to like episode 7 or 8. He's like, this show is crazy. I was like, I know. I guess we can get into it with everyone's first reactions with how they feel about the show, but it's crazy. If you watch a trailer, it does not do the show justice at all.
No, not at all.
And Dev, you can go with your first reaction first. Yeah.
The whole time it is stressful. Like you are stressed every episode. There is not a moment in time where you're not stressed out. And like, it's one of those shows where it's just, it keeps going. And then you're like you're never bored watching it. You're never like, the whole time you're watching it, locked in, zoned in, want to know. I mean, it's just how it makes you feel.
Dalt, first gut reaction, what you got?
I didn't like it at first. Thought it was another like Riverdale, but it kind of reels you in.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Like when I try and explain the show to people and I try and get people to watch it, I would say it's a really captivating show that... The masquerade is that it's a teen drama, I guess.
Yeah.
It's so much, so many more deeper layers. And sometimes there's some storylines that you're like, come on. With everything going on, that's what you're worried about right now.
Yeah.
People losing their virginity.
Yeah.
Like, come on. These kids aren't 16.
Yeah.
But yeah, my first gut reaction was episode one, lukewarm at best. Episode two, getting there. It's kind of like the more it gets Goonie style and stops trying to play up the trope of like poor kids versus rich kids, I think it gets a lot better. So I guess we can start with, we can just go down the line of characters and we can kind of go with the story as we see fit, if that's cool with you guys.
Cool.
But first, we'll get into some fun facts. It is scored 70% on Rotten Tomatoes by critics, and it's got an 84% 84% audience score. So it's pretty well received, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I don't know how many critics are going on Netflix and trying to review Netflix shows, but who knows right now?
Right now, that's all you got.
Yeah. So overall, pretty well. Riverdale is still 84% on Rotten Tomatoes through all four seasons.
I don't get that.
It's crazy. I don't get it. All 10 episodes aired or is available for streaming on April 15th, 2020. So it's been out a little over a month. And it was created, directed, and written by brothers Josh and Jonas Pate and Shannon Burke. I listened to an interview with Jonas Pate earlier today, and he said that he really wanted to film in the Outer Banks, but they ended up filming in Charleston, South Carolina. And the way it's shot, I would say, you know how girls talk about golden hour?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It seems like the show is literally always in golden hour.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a lens they put on there. Dalt's more...
A filter?
You think so? You think they or just like, put a filter on it?
Maybe they film there's, like there's the same ways. Time of day, every day.
That'd be impossible to get it right every day, but probably filters mostly.
So the premise of the show, if you're listening and you have no idea what the show is about, it's basically these kids that live in the Outer Banks of North Carolina, and there's the rich kids and the poor kids. They call the poor kids the Pogues because it's like a useless fish. And then there's the kooks, the kids that come there for vacation or their parents are very well off and they're allegedly in high school. And that's one of the points we'll get to later. These kids do not. Maybe Kiara. Kiara is maybe the one that looks like she's in high school.
Yeah.
And Pope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Her I and can Pope. See, yeah. But the.
But JJ and.
Yeah. JJ.
And John B. No way.
No.
Maybe if they failed it like five or six times.
Yeah.
It never says if they're 16. But they John B's dad disappears and he's been gone for about 9 months. And it all has to do with this like hidden treasure. And it kind of gives it a Goonies feel, but also like the aesthetic of the ocean and the beach. And everyone's living the beach life, driving the VW bus. It's a very that kind of reels you in more than the story, I think, at first. Because episode one, not great. Yeah. There's like a weird voiceover that almost seems like a Disney Channel movie or like a CW show.
Yeah.
It's like, we're the Pokes. We don't fit in. But, you know, he kind of pushed. I don't think there's a voiceover after that episode, no. After episode one. And.
Yeah, it's him like explaining everything.
Yeah. Which
we could have learned that a different way, but.
I would have rather had a montage than the whole first episode.
Yeah.
Of voiceovers. But anyway, at any rate, the main character is John B. And he is played by Chase Stokes. He is a 27-year-old male, if you can believe that. 27-year-old male, same age as me, playing a 16-year-old. But he's got good flow. He looks like the lead singer of All American Rejects.
And the ladies love him.
Yeah, and he's a good dude. I mean,
yeah,
he's a good dude.
Yeah, all things considered, yeah. You know, he's basically raising himself, and he's got degenerate friends. I would have ended up way worse.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a good set of morals on him, and, you know, you root for him.
Yeah.
He's the kind of guy you want to root for.
He goes through a lot in the first couple episodes where Department of Child Services is coming around trying to take him away because his uncle is supposed to be checking in on him. The real question is, why didn't they just take him away?
Yeah.
If they knew.
Yeah.
The whole time.
That was one of the storylines that kind of got on my nerves. And Dalton said it best, you know.
Yeah. I wish they were just like all like fresh out of high school. Like they just graduated. This was their summer after they just graduated. And it would have made more sense like their age. Like they're just, they don't seem like 16-year-olds.
Not at all.
No.
But John B's dad leaves him some clues that lead to him finding this mythical treasure on the coast of Outer Banks, and it's worth $400 million, which to a bunch of poor kids on an island, that seems like an infinite amount of money. So the next Pogue is Kiara, who is
Who's half and half.
Yeah.
She's a half pogue, half kook, but
yeah, she's technically very well off, but she likes hanging out with the pogues. So yeah, she's a pogue, and John B tries macking on her. JJ, before episode one, JJ says he's tried a million times.
Yeah.
And eventually even Pope tries macking.
Yeah.
It kind of sends Pope over the edge when he doesn't get it.
Like, right, yeah. But I don't know. Those few episodes where Sarah Cameron comes in the picture, and she was kind of making me mad a little bit, too.
Yeah.
I was like, she's, I mean, women.
Yeah. And Kiara used to hang out with all the kooks, and she was best friends with Sarah, who we'll get to here in a minute, but Kiara is estranged from all the kooks, so yeah, she wants to be as far away as possible from them, and she's the only girl in the group. JJ is probably my favorite character on the show.
Yeah.
I would say he got on my nerves a lot the first couple episodes, where he was just like doing stupid things, like with the gun and always wanting to steal stuff. And it's like, he's a degenerate, but you find out like how bad his home life was.
Yeah.
And I think his like multiple layers, like peeling him back, was very fun throughout the show.
Yeah.
And I think without sending out too many spoilers, his relationship with his dad is one of the few parts that like made me emotional during the show. Him standing up out of that hot tub and having all those bruises and saying like he did it for his family, you know. So it's a good show.
Kid deserved that hot tub.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
He's like, I did this for my family. I did it for you guys. Basically,
nobody wanted to get in the hot tub with him.
No. They were, well, long story short, he was supposed to pay his bail money because he
took the fall for
Pope sinking somebody's boat. That was another time he was like a really good bro.
Yeah.
And I think that's episode four is when that happens.
He was crazy, but he's loyal.
Yes. It was, you know, someone like that.
Yeah.
It's like you see him as like this crazy person, but you find out that they're just like acting out because of everything they got going on at home. So JJ is the next one. And then we got Pope. Pope is known because he's trying to get a scholarship because he wants to be a coroner.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times he talks about that scholarship, but it's at least a million times.
Yeah. And then when he gets to it, he runs out. Like, I don't know. That just didn't make sense to me. And like whatever he had to go tell him, he could have waited till after. Like they made it all dramatic and he just gets up and like, it's just.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, it wasn't his idea. They couldn't even do till the next morning or something like that.
Like, he just got the idea and just sprinted out after he talked about it for first six episodes. You're like,
yeah, I think it was more like him making a statement.
Yeah,
even though it was gonna have his dad put all his stuff out on the front porch in the morning. So we'll get into the kooks. The kooks. From the most part, from what we see, is the Cameron family, which. There's Sarah Cameron, who's the 16-year-old daughter. There's Wheezy, who's the little junior high sister. Rafe, who's 19 years old, and he's the oldest brother. There's Ward Cameron, who is the father, and then there's the stepmother, Rose. I will say, they did a really good job, like, slowly revealing Rafe and Ward to be the horrible people that they are.
Yeah.
I was like, you know what? Rafe's kind of a douche, but, you know, he's a rich kid. What are you going to do? And then when he started, they beat up Pope with when he was doing the delivery. And then he started getting violent and all the drugs he was doing. It was just like, dang, I hate this dude more than Joffrey.
When his dad finally kicked him out, I was like, yes, I love the dad. I was like rooting for the dad. And then, you know, if you see what... This whole thing's a spoiler, but obviously we saw what happened with that.
Yeah. Hopefully you're listening to this to get more like, more insight and more talking about Outer Banks. So we're going to hold no punches. We're going to just spoil the hell out of it. So, when Ward kicks out Rafe, I was like, finally.
Yeah.
Like, you're realizing.
He's like, where am I going to go?
figure it out. But yeah, it was Ward Cameron becoming a villain was very hard because he was such a likable, everything I've seen him in, he's been likable. He was in The Office. He was Josh from Stanford.
Oh yeah.
And I say everything, I mean the one thing. Isn't that crazy?
What?
Yeah. Remember when Jim goes to Stanford?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was his boss.
Doesn't even look like Sam.
And then
guy.
He like undercut Dunder Mifflin and left.
Yeah.
For Staples.
Yeah. I think he, I mean, it was 15 years ago probably. Since
but like
that.
The entire show, you thought him as like the good guy. He took in John B. And like,
he was a
up
former,
until they were on the boat and then he turned psycho on John B.
I was kind of suspicious.
Yeah. When he's like,
there was well, once one, he started saying like, I'll give you a cut or whatever. He's like, no, I've been doing all this. Why am I giving you money? But
yeah. And even when he's like listening in on Sarah and John B's conversations.
Yeah. Well, I knew it was getting fishy around then. Like he was hunting for that treasure too.
I knew he killed the one, two dudes. Cause he had the locket. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And like it shows
and he
that.
Returns the harpoon or whatever.
Yeah. And that one, the cop, what's her name? I don't remember.
I always thought that as like.
That cop met with somebody and she was like, this is my last, like you can't see him. He's like, this is the last time, like I owe you no more favors. And you're like, you think the cop's dirty, but you can't see. It was Ward. And I had my suspicions then that it was Ward, but like. I don't know. And whenever he adopted John B. too, I was a little like,
You got to keep him close.
Like, yeah, just a little suspicious.
Wheezy, the little sister, I thought it was really, episode one, she was kind of a snake. Like, she told on John B. for stealing the equipment, and she was, like, basically just trying to, I don't know what her plan was by telling Sarah's boyfriend at the time, but she was like, yeah, Sarah's cheated on all our boyfriends. You're next.
Right. Like,
what are you going to do? You're 13 years old. You're not going to date Topper. And right. that's our next kook is Topper. But Topper, douche. He's like climbing the diamond back at Kings Island. And he just takes a dive down to be like a decent guy.
Yeah.
When they're in the lighthouse.
Yeah. Okay. The scene before that, whenever he had John B. locked in the... Weirdest conversation I've ever heard. He's like, did you effer or whatever? And then John B's like, could you please not? And I'm
we
like,
we made love.
Yeah. And like,
that makes a difference, John.
He's
B.
Like, it's like we were in a movie. And I'm like, I don't know. And it's just the whole, you're just sitting there like, what is going on right now? Like
don't tell him that. It's just going to make you more mad.
Yeah.
That is kind of like a high school. That's one of the few times it seemed like high schoolers. Like, what, did you bang her? Did you like it?
Yeah. How was it?
Don't tell me. I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I hope you get taken by the police.
Topper is just a weirdo. And he was always the right place at the wrong time. Like following Sarah and just knowing where, like, I don't know. Just...
Yeah. Topper was definitely on the cusp of being like a serial killer. Yeah. I thought he would kill Sarah.
Yeah.
The way he was acting.
Yeah.
Like through their breakup. So that wraps up the kooks. We got some miscellaneous characters I thought were worth mentioning. We got Sheriff Peterkin, who died heroically.
R.I.P.
What's that? Episode 8? She dies at the end of episode 8?
Yeah, it's the no? Episode, it was the, yeah, was episode 8.
Yeah, because then episode 9 is like the big chase for John B., I think.
And then episode 10 is the getaway.
Yep. There's Deputy Shoop. Who is Sketchtown USA.
Yeah, I don't know what what.
He's got that weird mustache.
Yeah.
I didn't like him from the beginning.
No.
When he went into that
he's
that
like,
hotel room.
Take some of that.
Yeah. Wet the beak, I think is what he says.
Yeah.
You freaking dirty snake.
Yeah. I never liked him, never trust him.
And then another one of my favorite characters, Barry. Drug dealer Barry.
Oh, yeah.
He is a madman. Yeah. You know, he kind of reminds me of the guy from Mr. Robot.
Yeah.
The drug dealer from Mr. Robot.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Where he's just like...
And he gets beat up more than anybody I've seen get beat up. I mean...
Pope ends up whooping his ass at one point.
Pope. What's his name? The dad.
Ward.
I'm trying to think. There was another time where he was just getting beat up. And you're like, man.
You would think... Barry would have some cronies with him, but he seems like he's always alone.
Yeah.
You know, if you're going to be a drug dealer, at least have some friends with
how
him.
How he randomly owned that one pawn shop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
He just happens to be working in the back. Like, wait, no. He is at his house all the time selling drugs. What is he doing here?
During the day, old Barry's running a pawn shop.
Yeah, and how did they not, if they know the Outer Banks so well, they knew, like, they didn't know they were being set up, and they drove out to the middle of nowhere on that scene where they get robbed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The whole time, I'm like, they're stupid. What are they doing? Like,
yeah, there's definitely, we'll get into that now, I guess. Things that are frustrating about the show. We've talked about their age. There are certain plot points that really did not make sense to me. And number one being what you were saying, them driving out to BFE to try and get gold. Like, you're on the poor side of town.
Yeah.
If you start throwing around that much gold and it being real gold and you try to like melt it down yourself, people are going to get suspicious. People are going to start talking. It would have been smarter for them to go to the mainland or something, go somewhere.
Yeah.
Where it would be safe. You guys think of anything else? We talked about the Department of Children's Services.
Yeah.
And that whole storyline.
Yeah, like I said, if he were just already 18, it wouldn't even been a problem.
And yeah.
Another thing for him to worry about. It was just a side thing. And I'm like, why do we have to be worried about this when they're trying to get this gold and all this other stuff?
The storyline I didn't really care for was Pope and his like college scholarship. He talked about it all the time and then he just bails on it.
And if he's only 16, you've got a few more years to get a scholarship, right?
Well, it depends. He could be going into his senior year. He could be a senior.
Yeah, but I guess they would never really say his age, but
yeah. I mean, we're just assuming they're all 16 based on Sarah. And I guess the other one I really didn't care for was like the people in the first couple episodes in the black trying to track them down.
Yeah.
I didn't really understand what their purpose
served. Yeah, where did they come from?
I think we never really found out either.
I think Ward hired them to go find that compass because it was proof that somewhere John B's dad was still alive. Because he thought he killed him, dumped him off, but he ended up making it on that island.
Yeah.
And so when he found that compass, I think that was damning evidence for that, Ward.
Yeah.
It was maddening to me that Ward protected Rafe after he killed a cop.
Yeah.
That was the most frustrating. And it just seemed like no matter what John B. did, and I guess it's true, like if you're poor, no one's really going to believe you, and it's people really take the side of people with privilege. But when he comes back from the boat trip with John B., he's like, yeah, he stabbed me. And the only person that didn't believe him was Sheriff Peterkin. And I mourned her loss very hard. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah.
But it was like she was the only one who's trying to get the real truth.
Yeah.
And she was always straight up with everyone. She was straight up with John B. And she even knew not to trust Deputy Shoup.
Yeah.
Because I think she met up with John B. in the church.
Yeah, she told him not to come in because he was sketchy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You guys think of anything else that really got on your nerves?
Not really, no. I'll tell you something I just thought of. The scene whenever John B. is like trying to escape off that boat, one of the craziest scenes I've ever seen. Like whenever he's running from him and he's like, dude, it was like problem after problem after problem for John B. trying to get away from him.
And yeah, when he's trying to get that sea dew down.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. There's a lot of the show that.
And when it ran out of gas, I was like, oh, I feel so bad for this dude.
Yeah. How? I could never swim, like never be able to do that.
Yeah. And it was, I think one of the cool part, we can get into things that we like now, but one of the things I really enjoyed was the fact that cell phones were down.
Yeah.
Cell towers were down because there was a hurricane that happened as they began the search for this treasure. And it was just so cool that like, if you wanted to reach someone, you had to go meet them or, hey, meet us back here at this time. You know, another thing I really enjoyed was the relationships between all the characters seemed real.
Yeah.
And that's kind of hard to do with teen soaps because you're relying on these younger people to bond. But I felt like the bond was real between all of them.
Yeah, I've seen some like behind the scenes stuff on Instagram. They seem like they're like actually pretty good friends in real life, so that's probably why. It's probably just easy for them to.
All these young, attractive kids.
Yeah.
They had the best time filming on a beach.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought a lot of the relationships were cool and they were dynamic. Like at first, the first couple episodes, you think John B and what's her name? Kiara, the car key. You think John B and Key. And then you're like, well, maybe not. And then when JJ's going through stuff, you're like, oh, maybe Key and JJ. And you're like, nope. No Pope on Pope Mackin. And then Pope. It actually made, I thought the Pope and Key kind of made sense.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was kind of disappointing when she said no Pope on Pope Mackin, and he just like comes unglued.
Yeah. He was off the rails.
But I think one of
it was kind of litty too, and the way she said it was kind of hurtful. But
yeah. Especially, he's probably never put himself out there like that before.
No,
he's kind of a weirdo.
Yeah.
I thought it was cool that they like leaned really hard into like character tropes in the first episode, like Sarah running around trying to protect those mice, and you know, everyone's worried about the turtles and everyone's drinking and stuff. I feel like they kind of laid off those like tropes as hard when the story really got going.
Yeah.
And the old lady thing they had with that house.
Oh yeah.
That was so creepy.
Oh my goodness.
That could have been a scary movie.
Yeah. Dude. Yeah. She, her eyes, like I just don't like,
they had like glaucoma or something where it was like real glossy.
If you put me in that situation, I'm killing that lady. If she's shooting that, like, she's blind. They could have just taken her.
Yeah.
They didn't know she was blind. They had to figure it out at first.
I guess. They just ran. I don't know. I would have been.
But they were also trespassing.
Yeah, true.
John B. down in the well screaming.
Dude, yeah. And he finds that skull down there, dude.
It's what's crazy to me is how did they never find that? It wasn't like a really hard treasure to find.
Yeah.
And like,
If people were looking in the ocean, you're not really looking in someone's cellar. But I think one of the standout episodes, like I mentioned earlier, was episode 4, where John B. and Sarah are going out to the beach, or going out to
the mainland
to like find out more information about the shipwreck. And I thought that was a really cool episode, even with their little montage of them trying on clothes. Kind of seemed like reminiscent of like a 90s movie.
Yeah.
But I mean, you kind of like it though. I mean, it's kind of like I liked that episode.
I did too.
Yeah.
And I think that was the same episode where Pope and JJ go pull the plug on Ward Cameron's boat.
Yeah, I was so hyped when Pope did that. He just no fear in his eyes, just did it.
Yeah, they should have done it at nighttime though.
Yeah.
Dummies.
Wouldn't have got caught.
Yeah. They should have known there was cameras.
Yeah.
That one mom was like,
press charges.
Press charges.
But mom.
Topper's.
Press charges.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Rafe and Topper haven't done worse. Yeah. But I will say, I don't know how you guys feel about Rafe as a person. I think he's might be the worst person on any TV show I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And it takes a lot for me to feel that much passion because I watched Game of Thrones, and I did not like
Joffrey
or what's his name? The other dude. Fed people to dogs. Remember?
Oh, they had the Battle of the Bastards.
Yeah. So we had to take a break to Google it, but it was Ramsay Bolton. So they are all in a league of their own. I think if you give Rafe a little more power, him and Ramsay Bolton would be a terror. Together.
I'm predicting Rafe is going to be bad next season. Because what's his name?
Ward Cameron is going to jail. Ward Cameron's going to jail, right?
So we think.
That's kind of how they left it.
Yeah. But I mean, he can't. There's no way.
Yeah.
You never know with this
show. Yeah.
You really don't. And I thought there would be more happening in the end to end the season. Because the way it ended, you would think like, hey, they made it to Mexico or wherever they're going to get the treasure.
Yeah.
But they're just on a boat to get there. My hope is that we don't have to see the whole boat excursion going into season 2.
Just they're there.
Yeah. Let's get into thoughts on what we think is going to happen in season 2 and what we hope will happen in season two?
Somehow, some way, they're going to have to reach out to Pope and all that, because they have to be together as a group. So it obviously can't just be John B. So I'm hoping they get them to come out there, try to get the treasure. The only thing is, it's not going to be in Outer Banks.
Yeah.
Season two. It's going to be somewhere else, but I don't know. I like the Outer Banks scenery, but then at the same time, it's not where the treasure is. So.
Plus, John B's got to figure out a place to stay.
Yeah.
That'll be tough.
Rafe is going to be, I think, a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's owned by that dude now, because that dude knows he...
Yeah, Barry.
Yeah.
Dalt, what do you got? Your hopes for season two?
I don't know. Really, I haven't really thought about it.
I kind of hope there's a time jump. A little part of me, I know what I read online, there's hopes for them to go 4 or 5 seasons, which would be cool if they like have a plan for all seasons. From what I've read, the Pate brothers do have a plan for 4 seasons, and they have it arced out. But it would be really nice if they jumped forward, and what if John B. and Sarah come back, they're 22, and they're millionaires, and everyone's kind of stayed the same, but they come back and bring their wealth back, and they try and become kooks on the island?
Yeah, maybe do that after, but at the same time, you got to figure out how they get the money. So maybe one more season, and then jump ahead.
Well, Sarah was planning on going with her dad.
Yeah.
I don't think it's Mexico. I think it's like one of those offshore islands.
Costa Rica or something like that.
Something like that. We'll have our stats department look at it.
I don't know how to say it. Bahamas, basically.
Okay. Yeah. So, yeah, they sent all their gold down there to have it assessed and get paid out for it. So, I think it would be cool if Sarah went down there and she's like, hey, my dad sent me down here to...
Yeah.
And, you know, that's how they end up getting the money. But with that, what you were saying earlier, if you get all the Pogues to come down, what if that means Topper and Rafe and Barry are following?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So with that,
yeah, it would be pretty cool. I have a feeling that Rafe is just getting started.
Yeah, he's on a pretty high trajectory.
Yeah, and there's no way he's going to go to jail. If anybody goes to jail, it'll be Ward, because Ward will probably take the fall, if anything, for everything, like killing the sheriff and everything. So Rafe's going to get off, and I think he's going to be a problem. Prediction.
That's what we can hope.
I hope John B. and Sarah stay together, too. I don't want them to...
Yeah, I thought their relationship was cool, but it was also short.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, it's like
they were only dating like a week, right?
Yeah.
But summer loving had me a blast.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Another thing worth thinking about. Do you think Ward Cameron kind of reminds you of the dad from Riverdale?
Kinda, a little bit.
His scruff.
Veronica Lodge's dad, Mr. Lodge, Hiram Lodge.
Oh yeah.
You seen any? They're both like powerful people who like manipulate their daughters.
And mysterious, yeah.
They try and kill their daughter's boyfriend.
When I first started watching, I thought it was Uncle Jesse for a minute, but
no,
it wasn't. I looked it up. I was like, "Is that?" I had a smaller TV back then, so.
Netflix also tweeted out that they say John B. on the show 157 times in 10 episodes.
I believe it.
Yeah, they do say John B. a lot.
It's I wish they would have named him something different.
Why?
Honestly.
Why is it John B?
Maybe they know another John.
Or is his dad Big John?
Yeah. Why can't
they call him Big John? Why don't they call him
Lil John?
Lil
John and the East Side Boys.
Yeah.
The East Side Pogues.
Lil John
and the East Side Pogues.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
We figured it out.
And they went with John B.
So lame. But it kind of fits as like,
yeah.
Just a lowly Pogue. With my neck gaiter
hipster. Yeah.
But I'll tell you what, the show has me growing my hair out. I'll say that much.
Yeah.
Not quarantine or anything.
Nope. No. I could get a haircut, but I won't now because of the show.
You need the little hair flip thing that he's got going on in the front.
Mm-hmm.
Flip it back.
Oh, yeah. His hair is like 24/7 a mess.
Yeah. And he does it like 1,000 times, but
Well, I mean, we don't see the dude sleep or shower much.
No. At all. He's one of the most disgusting people, too. Yeah, I mean, he goes down into a well with dead body.
He crawled into that one tunnel for the treasure like 3 times.
Yeah.
And the final time, he wasn't there.
I could not do it.
And they swam through.
Oh, that made me so mad whenever he figured out where the treasure was.
Oh, yeah. When Ward figures it out, yeah. Out of nowhere.
When they're trying to buy that house.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
That was another just random coincidence. I'm like,
You're like,
well, it wasn't really a coincidence. It was the old lady after that home invasion.
Yeah. Just the fact that
she was going into a nursing home and his wife was like,
what was that?
That was my chair. Sorry. His wife was like, why don't we buy this house? It's really nice. And he's like, we don't need another house. And then he's like, you know what? Let's buy the house. I bet there's a treasure down there.
Yeah. Well, she's a realtor, right? Is that why she wants? Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a little sketchy. She's like, just do it, babe. Just get it done.
Who cares? You've already killed somebody.
Yeah. Just keep going.
Just keep murdering. And
I was like, well, this lady's nice. No wonder Rafe is a... Well... That's their mom, right?
No, stepmom.
She's like way younger than him, I think. Yeah. But I thought it was cool that John, not that it was cool, but I thought it was a cool twist when John B's dad actually was dead. Because I full heartedly was like, oh yeah, his dad's gonna find him and they're gonna find the treasure together. But
yeah,
the fact that his dad actually was dead,
it's kind of sad how he suffered.
Yeah, but how do you stay with someone who's like, hey, you want to get married? Your dad can't walk you down the aisle, though, because he killed my dad. Is that cool?
Yeah.
Is it cool if your dad doesn't walk you down?
She probably doesn't. Well, at this point, she does not want her dad to walk down the aisle. She knows.
They could get married on that boat on the way down to Aruba or wherever they're going.
Yeah. 16.
Yeah.
Pull another.
Yeah, they could definitely keep this going for 4 seasons. Hill. There's so many different rabbit holes they could go down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so cool for a show that definitely seemed in episode 1 was going to be very surface level, very Riverdale-y, but it didn't really get off the rails. Everything kind of meant something.
Yeah, there were parts where you were like, this is getting out of control, but then it...
Yeah, if it was like a loose thread that they went down for a little bit, they kind of tied it up and it was done. You know, like the compass.
Yeah.
Like, what's the compass mean? What's his dad trying to tell him? Well, once we find out the dad was dead, it was like proof that he was still alive. They tied that off. That was nice.
Yeah.
And like the treasure, and they find out it's not actually a shipwreck. I was like, sweet, because they're not good at scuba.
Yeah.
They made that very clear. They suck at scuba-ing. So, I don't know. I thought the show did a really good job for being a teen soap, being very realistic. The Pate brothers do not have a lot of stuff on their list.
And it really helped that everyone was home and they needed something to watch.
Yeah. We couldn't find statistics for viewership, but it's been in the top 10 of Netflix's. They just started this list where they show you where it ranks on the Netflix.
It was number 1 for a couple weeks, it seemed like.
Yeah, and I think we're on week 6, of it, week 5 or week 6 of it being out, and...
It's probably still in the top 10. I haven't looked recently.
Mm-hmm. It's just going to be a long time. It's going to be like Stranger Things. We're going to get into it when it comes out. But other than that, it's hard to think about it.
Yeah.
But I think it'll be rewatchable.
I've seen it twice already. So
I'm watching it the second time through, and I'm finding more and more show. That I like. Yeah.
You notice things that you didn't notice before. Like that one scene I was talking about where the sheriff was meeting with the... you can tell it's... him now.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
Yeah. You guys got any more thoughts?
I don't think so.
No.
Well, this was quick and short and to the point, but I think it was good for all of us to talk it out and be able to talk about our predictions going into season 2, get into things that we didn't like, get into some of the characters. But guys, thanks for coming on. Dev, Dalt, don't be strangers. We'll have to do this again real soon.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We'll come back once the... what's that one show that's coming out with Michael Scott? Space Force. Once that comes out, dude.
I think we got less than a week.
Yeah.
It's a week from today.
That's
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
I'm really excited about that one.
Yeah. And HBO
Max, May 27th.
That's going to be good.
I can't wait for that day.
I know. We'll definitely do an HBO Max show for sure. And a Space Force. So yeah. Thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you next week.
See you.
With the new iPhone SE for less than $100 at Metro, you rule. It's the most affordable iPhone on the number one brand in prepaid. So whether you're studying online or FaceTiming.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, dear.
The iPhone SE has all you need. Switch to Metro and get the iPhone SE for $99.99 after rebate redemption and 6 months of service with AutoPay. Metro by T-Mobile. Rule your day. Limit one per account slash household. Requires port and ID validation. Not valid for numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Restrictions apply. See store for details. With the new iPhone SE for less than $100 at Metro, you rule. It's the most affordable iPhone on the number one brand in prepaid. So whether you're studying online or FaceTiming.
Hey, Mom.
Hi, dear.
The iPhone SE has all you need. Switch to Metro and get the iPhone SE for $99.99 after rebate redemption and 6 months of service with AutoPay. Metro by T-Mobile. Rule your day. Limit one per account slash household. Requires port and ID validation. Not valid for numbers currently on the T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Restrictions apply. See store for details.